Stellar Fundraising Auctions presents Black Tie and Tales, brought to you by Sojourn Ventures and Greater Giving, and featuring your hosts, fundraising auctioneers Greg Caroga and Devon Bell. Welcome to Black Tie and Tales, where we take you into the wonderful world of fundraising auctions to share tales of triumph and tragedy. I'm your host, Greg Caroga. This is my host, Devon Bell.
Hello, all.
And December is upon us. It's another year in the rearview mirror. And it's amazing in our industry of seasonality. And by that, I mean between... For example, now and January, there are very few fundraising auctions in the Bay Area.
As far as we're concerned, zero.
Yeah, yeah. I'm done for the
year. Me too. I'm done till February.
And hallelujah. Like, I'll take it. And I know in other places, Florida, for example, now is gangbusters, right? Wherever there are
snowbirds.
Snowbirds. Yeah. Wherever there are snowbirds, it is busy right now. But right. In our seasonal world, it's kind of nice to have a little bit. I measure the years by not the seasons, because we don't have seasons in California, especially in San Francisco. There's fog and there's less fog. And that's basically how it goes. And sometimes there's fog with rain and sometimes there's fog with sun. But in terms of seasons of busyness, and right now we're in the biggest, slowest season of busyness. So it's the end of the year. I often take this opportunity to reflect back on what was successful and what wasn't, but preferably what was. I like to do a compendium of auction lots, the most exciting auction lots of the year, which is something I put out, a blog post I do every year and put out. I'm working on it right now as well. And so I thought, this episode, it'd be good to focus on the things that went well this past year. Those auction lots that sold well, or that were super engaging, or the theme that really connected with the crowd, or the synergistic kismet that happens.
Band name
across events. Yes. Yeah. 90-second tangent. You and your son keep track of
band name, single name, album name.
So every time somebody says, "Oh, that's my new band's name," you guys write it down. I think that's a fun. That's a fun.
It's for people who love words for their own sake and hear when there's a funny turn of phrase.
Yeah, sure.
Some people notice it and some people don't.
And just the other night, doing poker night at my house, and we had two moments where, like, "Oh, that's the name of my new band," but we didn't write them down, and so they're gone.
Yeah, they have to come up organically, and as such, they disappear just as quickly, but we'll remember synergistic kismet forever.
Well, it doesn't hurt that it's recorded here.
Right.
So this themes episode is, yay, 2024. Like what went well? What are the things that went well in 2024? And I know that you've got a great one right off the bat. Like, you told a story, you were telling me just a moment ago.
Well, you teed me up perfectly with the synergistic kismet, because that's exactly what this is about. Often when we're going to talk about something that went well, we talk about a specific lot, a specific moment, right? Mm-hmm. That it was a beautiful community moment, or a raising a lot of money moment, or a hooting and hollering laughter moment. But this was kind of a situation that happened that allowed me to pull back a little bit from the moment to moment of this career that we're doing, and really see the good. You know, one of the things I love about what we do is that it's not without its whoops and jingles. You know, it can be difficult, it can be frustrating, it can be lots of unexpected twists and turns. But at the end of the day, what it is people donating to a cause that they love, and donating to something that is going to do some good in this world, right? And we get to be a part of that. So I'm doing an event for an environmental organization that is in Napa, and they are protecting the river. And during the course of the, I think it was the night of the event, during the course of the evening, someone mentioned someone who had given a big gift before the event. They weren't there that night, but they had given a gift. And I recognized that name as being one of the principals from another event I do in Napa.
Okay.
Which is an organization that combats homelessness.
Okay.
And so I said, "Oh, I know them." And they said, "Yeah, they gave a big gift." And we actually did a project together. And that moment kind of came and went. And anyway, the event was successful. That's great. And then fast forward a couple weeks, and I'm doing the other event, right? I did the one that was helping protect the Russian River in Napa.
Right, now you're helping homeless.
And now I'm helping the homeless in Napa. or helping them to raise money to help the homeless.
Right.
And we ended up having a discussion about, oh, I just did this other event and your name came up and your organization came up. And it turns out that they had done a like cross organization project together where they went down to the river, to the Russian River in Napa, and not only cleaned up like 100,000 pounds of trash and plastic and things that were gonna not only mess up the river, but eventually turn it into microplastics and come back and we're all gonna consume them, you know? So really great environmental, but that same kind of hybrid group also went down to provide services for the like 32 people who were living down there by the river. The river's a great place when you're homeless, right? There's always water, blah, blah, blah. So, and they ended up not only cleaning up 100,000 pounds of trash, but got housing services for 30 of the 32 people who were down there.
That's amazing.
And it was just coincidence that I did both of their events. But it was a beautiful moment of synergistic kismet where you saw that their good was better. The good they were doing in the world was better than the sum of its parts.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I feel blessed that you and I get to like share that with a group of people that want them to succeed, you know?
That's neat. That's really it's fun to get to see the good that we help bring into the world.
Yeah.
It's even more rewarding and empowering to see when it overlaps and magnifies.
Yes.
And it doesn't happen often, right? Because so often we're doing our job and, you know, your phrase is dancing around on stage and you know, running off. But the adrenaline starts to crash. And so we get out of there and everybody's in good hope. And then you don't really see the impact of your work. Seldom do you get to see it firsthand.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
So occasionally we get to go and whenever possible, I'd love to take tours of organizations with which I work, but it's not always feasible with schedules and everything else.
Yeah.
Right? It's not always possible. So that's neat.
Yeah. And another thing that comes to mind is a lot of times, you know, what we will tell the clients, I'm sure you do, I do, is whatever we have that has the emotional oomph, that's a great thing to put as part of the appeal for the fund of need, right? Is that we want people in their feels. We want people in an emotional place, not necessarily a counting numbers place when they, you know, counting numbers is fine for the value props for the auction lots, but we want people completely coming from a place of compassion and a place of emotion. And so what do we have that's the most powerful? And let's give it to them right at the appeal for the fund of need.
Yep.
And sometimes we are showing to the world that it's powerful, but it loses some of that for us because we watch it over and over again and we time it and we pick it apart. And like we do it so many times that it's easy to lose the emotional impact. And that's another wonderful moment that happens where I've watched this video a whole ton of times, right? Yeah. And we've timed it and like, oh, this moment comes here and I'm not going to say this because I'm not going to step on it. And then when the moment comes of the night and we watch the video along with the crowd and you get to look out and see their faces reacting to it, I can be touched and moved. And sometimes I can get a little misty, you know?
Michelle makes fun of me because we'll be watching TV, watching a movie, watching commercials. And we're watching Shrinking right now on Apple TV, which
I've heard of it.
It's fun. And she gets up at a certain point to go get some water and she's like, it's so cheesy. And I'm like, I'm in tears.
Right. Yeah.
I'll like cry at commercials. So
I mean, if it's kids, I forget about it.
I want to see the videos in advance just so I'm not a blubbering idiot when the time comes to make the appeal, because there, you know, I emotionally connect. At one point I said I'm very much of an empath, and somebody's like, did you read Teen X-Men as a kid? And I'm like, yeah, I did. They're like, okay, because that word does not exist in the English language except in Teen X-Men. And I'm like, oh boy, I just outed myself in a weird way. Like that was an oddly specific call. But I have a lot of empathy for stories and emotional tales that are being told, which I think is part of what it takes to be good at our jobs, right? If you can't empathize with the cause that you're raising money for, it's harder to push people from a heartfelt place. It's easier. I think there are a lot of fundraising auctioneers, especially now, there are a lot of fundraising auctioneers out there who are trading on aggression. And don't be chicken. It's only money. You got this. Come on, do it for the
kids. You have more than that in your pocket right now.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Shaming.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And there's a vibe to that culturally that I refuse to buy into. I am never going to change my approach to fit what is the zeitgeist of aggression and hopefully it doesn't spill over into fundraising full force, because I think what makes us good at our jobs is empathetic aggression.
They're opening for synergistic kismet, by the way.
Empathetic aggression. Right.
Well, I think that I am also a weeper. I am weep at the top, right? I look over and we're watching a movie with my kids and I'm
empathetic aggression, their first single. I love you, goddammit.
Right. And I think that not only are you right on point about the people feel in the moment you can raise a little more money. You know how hard we can lean on them if we want to.
Oh, yeah.
But in the moment, then it gets a little more money. And then that night when they're at home, it was also a party. It was also a social event.
Right.
They're like, I'm weary. I feel leaned on. Right. But if we go, oh, what a moment of like transcendent joy where all of us as a community and everyone felt like part of it. Right. And everyone should be part of it.
Right.
That's what we're trading on. Plus, if we weep a lot as men, we're going to live a little longer.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's. Black Tie and Tails is brought to you by our partners, Sojourn Ventures. When your auction is in need of some international travel flair, check out Sojourn Ventures. They curate trips to Italy, Bali, Spain, and now Venice, which is technically part of Italy, but I need to rewrite this script. All at reasonable consignment prices. They offer over a dozen curated packages that include round trip airport transfers, full body massages, daily breakfast, in-home chef's dinners, and more. Your buyers will enjoy top level concierge service and 2 full years to redeem their trip, all at reasonable consignment prices. Check out www.sojournventurestravel.com or look for the link in the bio of this podcast. So one of the things that I found was really surprising in 2024 in a positive way was we had a theme. I get themes all the time, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like events have themes all the time. And for the most part, like, I'm pretty theme agnostic, right? Like, I think a theme's great if your crowd is really into costuming, right? Like certain school events, Hillcrest. We both did Hillcrest for years.
They're the kings.
That is a crowd that loves to party. They did Saturday Night Live as a theme, which is really a broad theme, right? They did Saturday Night Live as a theme one year. And not one, not two, but 3 people came as Dick in a Box, right? I mean, their crowd loved it. But for the most part, you themes, once you're outside of the school event, tend to, like, there aren't as many organizations where you see the themes run as hard as that. And so this year, I was working with Episcopal Impact Fund. They changed their date, so you couldn't do it. So they came to me for a year. Now they're going back to you. I don't know if you've heard, but they're re-signing you. They're like, we want Devo back.
I'll and get so, my Dick in a Box costume ready.
I don't think the Episcopal community is but
it's Richard in a box to them, okay?
But we're doing working with Nicole Krasner, the event planner, and worked with Nicole on a number of events. Love Nicole. She's great. And she has like led them down this path of prom. Prom is the theme. And I'm like, okay, you know, like, I'll embrace it. I said, I great. I wasn't, you know, and like, as far as themes go, I'm not really sure how this is going to pan out, right? Like, you're going to show up, like, an Episcopal Impact Fund, no offense, but it's a mostly older crowd.
Right.
Right. It's a religious-based organization, so the new bishop is there, right, with his wife. And I'm forgetting his name. I remember the last 2 bishops for the Episcopal Church in San Francisco because I did Bishop Swing's Going Away Party in 2005, and I worked with Bishop Mark Andrus on a number of events over the years, but I'm forgetting the new... Oh, it's really going to... It's going to haunt me. But I'm like, okay, prom, great. We'll see, right? We'll see. And show up, and first off, we get there before anybody shows up, right? That's our nature, right? We have to sound check before there's people in the room. We get there early, and there's the balloon arch.
Epic.
Right?
Epic.
Right? It's beautiful. There's a photo booth with a balloon arch and a big bunch of flashy stuff. There's 2 punch bowls, right? for grandma's spiked 1-2 punch and unspiked punch. And I'm like, this is okay. This is like, I'm rolling with this. And she brought in Cheer SF.
Okay.
The Cheer Squad.
Yeah, great. Right? Great.
And they are, I'm going to take a 2-minute tangent to talk about Cheer SF because they are a wonderful organization. They have Cheerland Tours, volunteers, Cheerland Tears. Yeah, all of the people who do Cheer SF are volunteers. Volunteers. That's
there
what it
you
is.
Go.
They're volunteers.
We knew there was a pun there.
There's
somewhere.
A pun in there somewhere. Intend your puns, you cowards. They're volunteers who you can hire them for an evening. Talk about synergistic kismet. Here we go. You can hire Cheer SF to come do your event, and the money that you pay them, they turn around and donate to their organization. And the organization that they happen to donate to is one of the organizations served by Episcopal Impact Fund. Like, it was this wonderful, all big thing. So you've got Cheer SF. Everybody, as soon as people walk in, it's at the City Club downtown, right?
Oh, yeah.
So you walk in, there's the big lobby. It's all old school San Francisco.
They're doing it on the 10th floor, not the 11th floor.
Right.
Yeah.
But you get off on the 9th for the cocktail hour and
right.
then
that's,
go up to the 10th, right?
Right?
Yeah. So
big fireplace, art deco.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah, yeah.
It's great.
Huge Diego Rivera.
Yep, murals and the worker murals in the stairwells.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. I see you've done auctions there. And so when you walk in the lobby, there's a bunch of cheerleaders cheering you in. And immediately it's got this vibe of like, oh, right, we're going to like high school, not just prom, but but high school. And then the elevator takes you up and you get off on the 9th floor and there's a wall of cheerleaders waiting for you. And they're like, hey, welcome. You know, and they're doing these like welcome to EIF cheers and Episcopal Impact Fund cheers. And at a certain point, they crowned a prom queen and a prom king.
Okay.
And so the prom queen was the president of the board. And she was great, and she came up, and you know, and she got her thing, and she was, she was a little shyer about it, but was great. And then the prom king is the new bishop, right?
Okay.
And so he came up, and he was amazing. He like got his crown, and he leaned into the mic, and he just did the whole like giddy thing, like, oh my gosh, I'm so thrilled, everybody, I've been wanting this moment all my like. He like totally played up. Like,
I told myself I wouldn't cry.
Yeah, totally. The butterfly lashes, and the photographer's getting pictures of him, and I'm looking and I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to get the photographer's attention because his wife is rolling, right? And the whole crowd was rolling, and I was like, wow, prom. And then they had a DJ. I mean, music, like the whole, like it was a great vibe. It was a great call. I wouldn't say every organization should do prom, but in this case, like the whole thing, and props to Nicole. Like, there were her punch, they were literally her punch bowls, right? Like, she brought,
nice,
you know,
nice.
Like it was her idea for the theme, and she pushed on it. But it's you ask me what were some of the other themes I did this past year? I couldn't tell you.
I remember one year it was like circus. I did a million of them. One year it was Great Gatsby Roaring Twenties. I did a million
right.
of them. It's like they come around and they make their run. But one of the things I love about prom, when you were talking about it, I was thinking about it. It crosses the generations, right?
Right, right?
Your prom was in the 80s. Maybe it was shoulder pads or whatever,
right.
or the pushed up Don Johnson sleeves, right? But if you're an older
person. You described my outfit.
I know. I was thinking, I remember his peach colored blazer with the same scruff and the things pushed up, very Don Johnson. But if you're an older person, then it totally works for like bobby socks and
right.
saddle shoes.
Right.
And right. And everyone has nostalgic memories of their prom. So, yeah, that's a great. It's unexpectedly good.
Yeah, it was unexpectedly, and I, you know, it was fun. It was one of the highlights. One of the highlights of
what did you wear?
You know, it's funny you should say that because I was trying to figure out what to wear, and I was like, and they had me MC the event as well.
Sure. Yeah.
So, I wore my vest. I just wore one of my regular vests, not one that was for sale, but just one of my regular
vests.
He's
an auctioneer at a prom.
Right, I'm an auctioneer at a prom. But when I got on stage at the beginning of the evening, I was trying to get everybody quiet and get them focused so I could hand off an attentive crowd to our first speaker. And I was looking around, I was like, and I just said, honestly, I don't know this crowd well enough to be able to tell who's dressing up and who dresses like this all the time. And everybody laughed. And right. I said, and for the record, I dress like this all the time. And they took that.
Sweats and a vest.
Right. Yeah. Right, yeah, exactly. That was, you just described my pandemic.
Oh, yeah. Well, sure. Black Tie and Tails is brought to you by our partner, Greater Giving. Transform your nonprofit's fundraising initiatives with Greater Giving, a global payments company delivering unparalleled support for nonprofits and schools for over two decades. From effortless event organization to volunteer empowerment and increased donations, their integrated solutions pave the way for success. Explore their offerings and access a wealth of educational materials at greatergiving.com.
And Greater Giving, not only do they do payment processing in real time and online bidding and all that stuff, but one of the things that Greater Giving is best at is post-event reports. So when it comes to data and processing and being able to go back and analyze, Greater Giving is good for that. You were about to launch into something else. I could feel it right before we cut to that concert sponsor break.
I was going to say another blessing of 2024 is when you were talking about fancy vest and sweats.
Ah, yes.
That's very much remote events. We all remember those heady days of being on Zoom. And, you know, it was better than no event at all.
Right.
And there were some successes and some failures, you know, just like this show. But let me say that 24 kind of being the first year I felt we are fully back, no hybrid. And actually, it kind of was a benefit. I can't tell you how many times I drove an hour to have a meeting with some moms in a Starbucks.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so what we now, after the pandemic, what it seems like what we've done in 24 is let go of virtual events, even let go of hybrid events for the most part, but all the meetings happen on Zoom.
Yeah.
And they're great. You don't need any more than Zoom for those. You always send in some cool AI note taker or something to like give you great notes and reports about what got said. So
I'm a huge fan of Fathom AI. They're free and they do an amazing job of capturing a meeting and then summarizing it in text with active bullet points to jump to that point in the video so you can go back and watch the recording if you really want to.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm with you because I used to spend anywhere from 15 to 20 something hours a week driving.
Right.
Not even just the meetings, but just driving. Like there. And,
oh, yeah.
Shout out Jacqueline. Back in the day, I would tell Jacqueline, like, if I'm going all the way up to St. Helena, can you try to schedule as many meetings as possible for me in Napa or Sonoma on that drive so that I can maximize the drive and only do it once, right? So I would have days where I had like four meetings starting at 8 a.m. in Napa, working my way down the valley through Marin back home, you know, and now it's like, can have those same four meetings all spread out over the day, but not have to, like, I'm so thankful. Like, the best thing to come out of the pandemic has to be the adoption of Zoom meetings. I'm with you there.
Right, right. Yeah, you can imagine, we're going to have a meeting at a Starbucks at 2.
Right.
So I do the math. Oh, we're going to be done at 3:30. I'll catch traffic back to Davis. It's going to be a 45-minute, it'll be an hour and a half meeting, and it's going to be 2 hours and 45 minutes in the car for that.
Yeah.
Whereas, Zoom makes it...
it's going to be 2 minutes and 45 seconds to get from here to where the computer is.
Yeah, exactly.
And Zoom, that's because you stop to get water.
Right. And now insert your cat in your lap and the not wearing pants Zoom jokes here, you're good to go.
I'm not a cat.
My cat's not wearing pants.
Something that I thought was interesting this year, a trend, it's not so much like an individual story, but a trend was, I had two things, Nicole Krasner, this is the Nicole Krasner themed event.
We love her, by the way.
Yeah. One of our favorite auction lots is always to open the auction with something that is low retail value, but high perceptual value to just get everybody as engaged as possible, right? You know, bottle of champagnes, chilled champagne served to the winning bidder's table.
I'm in.
Champagne and dessert served to the winning bidder's table. Well, Nicole takes it a step farther and she does bubbles, beets, and sweets.
I just did that one.
Exactly. That's totally Nicole Krasner. Like, she's got that trademark. So come up with a different name for it. But she does bubbles, beets, and sweets. And so it's a chilled bottle of champagne, some kind of special dessert, and then the DJ, whoever the DJ is going to let you pick the first song for their set when the DJ starts playing at the end of the auction. So this presumes that there is going to be a DJ and a dance floor and people are going to care. But, you know, it's taking an existing idea and turning it into something just a little bit more, right? Just like, just yeah, you know, slightly different direction, different narrative. Because what we're trying to do is just tell stories, right?
Well, and I love, the thing I love about that is it's one of those ones where what you're winning is the ability to take your win in the party in real time.
Right.
Like giving you first crack at the buffet, right, and auctioning that, right, off. Right. It's fun because you win it and then you use it and then it's over all tonight.
Right. First in line at valet.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. You're cashing that in tonight.
Like, pick the car of your choice. Oh, right. No. Never.
But on that same thought, like Year of Dining, Calendar of Dining is always popular, right?
And it's easy to do because if you have a bunch of just one-off gift certificates, they're not strong enough to be in the, right, live auction, but they might get lost in the shuffle in the silent. So you just package them all up, 12 of them, boom, Year of Date Night.
And sometimes people are like, oh, that seems a little lowbrow for our crowd. So Berkeley Rep is like, oh, well, I'll see your lowbrow and I'll raise you a Michelin star, because they did a Year of Michelin star fine dining.
Ooh, so
they had a collection of 12 restaurants where every restaurant had at least a Michelin star, and that
only in Northern California.
Only in Northern California, you have like 12. I mean, maybe Chicago, possibly not Santa Fe, New York for sure. Like, there are a few places where there's that many Michelin stars.
How about this? I just learned this: more Michelin stars than London, Paris, and New York put together.
Who?
Tokyo.
Oh.
Right?
That makes sense. Have you been to Tokyo?
No, but it just moved up my list.
Tokyo Tokyo is ginormous. Tokyo is huge. We went to Tokyo before Ryder was born. And in Tokyo, my best way to summarize Tokyo is you are downtown, and you go walk, and you go underground, and get on a subway train, and you ride the subway train for 45 minutes, full speed subway train, making 10 stops, 45 minutes, and you get off, and you come up, and you're downtown, and you're 45 minutes from where you were. I mean, Tokyo is massive, so it does not surprise me that they have that many Michelin-starred restaurants. You would be hard-pressed to eat at four of them in a week, because it's so spread out. It's crazy.
Right.
It's crazy. But Year of Michelin Dining was just, again, taking an existing narrative and getting creative with it and upping it. That was kind of like the theme of these two. The surprise.
Yay for that.
Yeah, yay. Totally.
See, I got
yay.
Us back to our yay theme.
Yay. Yeah. I think one of the things that surprised me, you worked with Nicole then. Did you do a paddle drop?
Yes, at the end.
Right, and Nicole's a huge proponent of the paddle drop, and paddle drop, like, I've been hearing about paddle drops from across the country. Shout out Bobby D, from friends in New York doing them and pushing on them. And it was like, yeah, okay, well, I will admit to being hesitant to rush into trends ever since parachute pants.
You looked good in those.
Yeah, I wish I still had them.
Yeah,
those red parachute pants were the bomb. But Nicole, big advocate for doing the paddle drops. And so if you're not familiar with the paddle drop is?
It's at the, let's say the fun to eat is at the end of your event.
Right.
So we work our way down. Right. And it's pretty
10,000.
Right. So we go down and at the end it's 250 or it's 100 or it's 50. Now it's the last time you're going to use the paddle for the night.
Right.
So what you can do is send around spotters or send around, people with baskets and say, ladies and gentlemen, people, folks, it's your last opportunity to use your paddle. Let's all go in and toss your, if you're in at $50, even if you've already gave, throw in your paddle and you're all done. You don't have to use it again tonight. It is one of those things that is really has more impact from a we're all in this together community standpoint than it does an X's and O's standpoint, because we can all say how many hundreds it's going to take to make a 10,000, right?
Right, right.
What you're mostly trying to get is people who already gave and are going to give again.
Sure. But what I was really surprised, so we did the paddle drop a couple of times with Nicole this year at various events. And, the problem that I have is that we're using these bins that are too big, because it doesn't look like there's a bunch of paddles in there.
Right.
It looks
right.
Like, I'm like, oh, whatever. I was like, was that even worth it? But we did a paddle drop at one event where we got over like 60%. We got 63 paddles in the bin.
Another six. Was it at 100?
It was at 100.
Six grand.
Right? And this is historically a place where we get like $1,700 to $2,500 gifts on a good night, right? So we're doubling or tripling the amount that we make. And that's held true. I mean, it's been consistent. I improvised a paddle drop at an event. I'm like, hey, I'm sorry, I'm going off script. I didn't tell them I was going to do this, but I was like, and normally we have a prize, because normally part of the paddle drop is all these paddles go into a bucket and then you draw one. Or again, shout out Bobby D. What Bobby D likes to do is bring up a volunteer, like in the case of bring up the bishop, right? And say, okay, I'm going to throw all the paddles in the air. I need you to catch one, right? Like, and so then they can, and that's the winner, right?
It's, you know, kinetic. Yeah, and
yeah,
yeah. Crazy.
But yeah, if they miss, then it's, you know, and it's messy because then all the paddles are on the floor, but it's still like visually, but you draw one paddle and they win. So normally we do that. And in advance you plan. And this one event, I'm like, I'm going off script. I'm going to do a paddle drop. Here's how it's going to work. Normally I'd have a prize, like a bottle of wine, and the wine donor sponsor's like, oh, hey, I've got five. And he like runs off and comes back with, and so we did this like improvisational paddle drop where we got 30, 40 paddles in a room of 120 people, right? So over half of participants are in. And because 120 people is 60 couples, so 40 paddles is like 70% of the participants, and like drew numbers and gave out five bottles of wine on the spur of the moment. It was really a fun, memorable moment.
I'll give you another something that's good about the paddle drop is that you don't take up the same amount of program.
Right.
Because you can send out the people, and once you get them going, you can say, hey, throw in your paddle.
Throw your paddle in the bin. Throw your paddle in the bin.
If your table mate's having trouble, help them throw their paddle in the bin, that kind of thing. But what's nice is you don't have to call numbers at that last level and do the chant and go through the whole thing.
Right.
You can kind of like keep the program going while it's happening out in the crowd.
Right. And I say, like, look, I think at that improvisational moment, I made the joke, like, we're all tired of my voice at this point. So here's the deal. We're going to shave 2 minutes off of tonight's program and raise a bunch of money for Little Wishes. It was for Little Wishes. And so we did that. And they have a very heartfelt, emotional. They're one of their auction lots is to be a Little Wish coordinator for the day.
Aww.
So you get to go into the hospital where they are serving these kids. They give them little wishes every 2 weeks. They grant a wish, and the kids get to go choose their wish online and shop for it. You know, it turns out it's very impactful, not just in terms of emotional uplifting, but also helping engage them with their healing. Mm-hmm. And with their recovery. And so to go be Little Wishes coordinator for a day was one of the highlight moments of the year. That did exceptionally well. The woman who'd done it the year before came back and testified, like, this was amazing. It was so heartfelt. We happened to be there on a day when they were giving out wishes, and we got to go participate in that. And it was like, again,
that's always true, by the way. Anyone who's won a lot years past, if they're at the event, you at least talk to them and get a little sound bite. You can shout them out, have them stand up.
Have them shoot video on their phone and use that on the screen even.
They had one of those in my last year where they had a, you know, a big buy-in party, whatever. And then that was the picture on the PowerPoint.
Right, yeah, of course.
And there's, hey, so-and-so is here, and here they are doing it. They had actually taken them almost a whole year to use it, so it was only like a month
old. It was recent.
Yeah, it was fresh.
Yeah, we did one of those where they blacked out all the faces.
Nice. <'Cause> to protect the innocent and the guilty.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I think that those are the stories I got. I think the takeaways are that you know, for all that is happening in the world, fundraising continues to be a place of positivity and support. People continue to give to the organizations about which they care. We get to see people at their best, and the organizations that we see do their best are the ones that are able to effectively communicate their mission and engage their crowd directly with what it is they're asking them to do. But I mean, I think this year, one of the things we saw was that people took existing ideas and built on them, continued to build on them. And
yeah, it's how amazing that we have done this so many times, like a couple thousand times between us.
Yes.
And yet we're still being surprised and seeing something new.
Oh, still fine. And I think that's one of the joys of our world, the fundraising auction world, is that it's always different. right? Every auction, even the same auction year to year, has differences. Right.
Yeah.
The bidders are there or not. Auction lots are there or not. Donors, the popularity waxes and wanes.
Triumphs and tragedies.
Yeah, exactly. It vests, but I know that was last episode, and that story is almost 2 years old, and obviously I haven't gotten over it. Because I came back and tried to find that fabric. Oh my God, I'm doing that thing. I came back and tried to find that fabric and couldn't find that fabric.
He just can't let it go. 20 years in, and he's not fully vested.
No! Yes, I do not have my emotions buttoned up.
Nice.
Oh, well, Devo, thanks for coming along on this. It's been an interesting, fun ride. I don't know what either of us was expecting, but this has been fun.
Good stuff.
Good. And we'll be back again next year to get this kicked off in 2025. So thank you, listeners and viewers, for joining us for this episode and for this season of Black Tie and Tales. It's been a journey. We appreciate you. We look forward to seeing you next year when we kick off the new season. And hey, if there's a story or a topic that you'd like to see us cover, drop us a line. We're totally into hearing what it is you would like to hear from us or see from us. As always, you can find our podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google, YouTube, and all of your favorite podcast distribution channels. You can also find it at blacktieandtails.com. Have a great holiday season. Be safe, be good to each other, and always remember to use your powers for good.